With the 25th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers and hosts for the 2025 NFL Draft select Jordan Morgan, tackle, Arizona.
Stuck at 25, Jordan Morgan. I'm really excited. Versatile offensive lineman like we like, you know, really athletic. We really kind of feel he could probably play four positions for us. Our kind of guy.
This is where Wisconsin gathers to talk sports. Packers, Brewers, Badgers, Bucks. The Wisco Sports Show is on the air. Now, here's your host, Grant Bills.
This is going to be a weird show tonight. I completely forgot until about a half hour ago, 45 minutes ago. I completely forgot that the Bucks play, like, in 25 minutes. They play at 4:30, right? Or is it 4:30 Eastern, 5:30 Central? I think it's 4:30. Either way, the Bucks game is going to start during this show. So we're going to watch and experience this game together, which is bizarre. Like, typically, there might be, like, a Badger basketball game on. You know, I've done that a lot where I've had a Badger game on XP, especially those early season games like the Maui Gym Invitational or whatever. This is a playoff game. There will be a pivotal Bucks playoff game. Team that wins today will go up 2-1 in the series. It'll be going on during the show, which will be very odd. We also, obviously, the NFL draft is going on, which is a huge deal. And I want to talk about so many of these picks. I obviously want to talk about the Packers. I have a piece of physical paper, because for some reason last night and today I'm like, I'm gonna write like a scribe. I'm not gonna type my notes out. Sometimes pen and paper hits different sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes it just really does the trick. I want to talk about the Falcons pick. I want to talk about the Bills. I want to talk about the Vikings. Obviously the Packers, like I said. I gotta mention at the start of the draft, how do we think the commish did? How do we think Roger Goodell did? I thought his performance got off to a little shaky, right? I would probably be a little shaky too if there were tens of thousands of people booing me for no apparent reason, by the way. Just booing to boo, because that's what we do at the NFL draft. We boo Goodell. If you're at the draft, you boo Goodell. It's the way that it is. What insurance commercial is that? If you're at the NFL draft, you boo Roger Goodell. It's what you do. Is it Geico? And if you save with Geico 15 minutes, I don't remember which one. I'd be nervous too if there were tens of thousands of people booing me. Goodell's normally pretty calm, pretty well presented. He called Eminem E, which I thought was hilarious. You ready, E? I said, okay. Which, by the way, one of my favorite sports broadcasting memories is Brent Musburger having Eminem in the booth and calling him Marshall. That's, add that. Why do we have more than one Eminem sports broadcasting moment? Why there should not be more than one? Roger did a great job fulfilling certain requirements. So I don't know if you notice this. When the Eagles picked, he did a great job of being like, the Eagles will be playing in Sao Paulo, Brazil this year. And then before he continued, he's like, and the NFL will be bringing many more international games very soon. And then he announced the pick. It's like, all right, I'm glad you got that in there. And I don't know if you noticed when he was announcing the Packers pick. And now the Packers select in the 2024 NFL draft. And he also had to mention, hey, the Packers are also hosting next year's draft.
The Green Bay Packers and hosts for the 2025 NFL draft.
Select. He wedged that in there. The Green Bay Packers select in the 2024 draft. Oh, and also they're hosting the 2025 draft. He had a couple. There was a flag football initiative or whatever that he was out there pumping. Like, I noticed last night more than ever Goodell feeding us these lines, these narratives about teams and about events, which is good business for Goodell. I couldn't help but notice last night. This is the Wisco Sports Show. My name is Grant Bills. This was a wildly entertaining draft. I can't wait to talk about it tonight. And I know the Bucks are going to play, and we're going to spend majority of the time talking about the Packers pick. But the Packers pick is only one pick, and it's at pick 25. They got a lineman. He'll probably be good. The Packers know what they're doing at O-line. And if he doesn't work out, okay, sometimes draft picks don't work out. Right? Like, we'll talk about it, because I'm sure some of you wanted a corner. I wanted a corner. The Packers obviously liked a lineman more. Okay? There's nothing you can do about that. So we're going to talk about the Packers pick, but that is only one pick. The top 10 of this draft, the top 15 even, maybe the most entertaining top 15 in a draft I can remember in a long time. No defensive players taken. The first defensive player came off the board at 16, which is insane. And I saw a lot of people on Twitter last night this Bills draft show was going on, and I was reading, you know, tweets that would come across and, you know, takes from this analyst or that analyst, and this insider's reporting that this team's trying to move. So I'm just consuming it all last night, right? And, you know, a lot of people like, well, you can really tell with the hip drop tackle rule and the new rules and all the areas of emphasis. You could tell that teams are adjusting. It's all offense. It's like, no, I also just don't think there were a lot of, I don't think there were a lot of knockout defensive players in this draft. There wasn't that elite edge rusher. There wasn't a Miles Garrett or even a Will Anderson, right, who was that guy last year. There wasn't one of those guys. No, who's the guy? I don't know why this is the name that comes to mind. Josh Allen in Jacksonville. Like, typically there's the best pass rusher in the draft, and they typically go somewhere around the top five. Typically the top corner in the draft also goes somewhere there. I just don't know if there were as many knockout, drag out, home run defensive players in this draft. A lot of quarterbacks in the mix and a lot of quarterback hungry teams in the mix will also force some of those defensive players down, and they're more tackles than any draft I've seen in recent memory. So of course that's going to push the defensive players down. We ended up with six quarterbacks in the top 12, which is insane. Bo Nix went top 15. And I know everyone's got their panties in a twist. Just like, Bo Nix was not the 15th or the 12th best player in the draft. Of course he's not, but he's a quarterback. Quarterbacks drive everything. It's the most important position, the most important player in professional sports. Of course the quarterbacks can go in the top 15. Of course. I have no problem with it. Right? There are always these people who's like, well, actually, I had, you know, if you line up all the players next to each other, I actually had J.J. McCarthy is my 35th best player in the draft. Okay, that's nice, but that's not how the world works. That's not how real life is, right? Teams are actually going to take the quarterbacks a lot higher than they should because they're the quarterbacks. That's just how it works. This is the Wisco Sports Show. I normally mention that at the top. You probably put that together by now. My name is Grant Bills. Thank you for tuning in. Never miss a Friday show. You can tweet me at Wisco Grant. You can call and text the show 608-321-1670. Hope to have some great back and forth. Let's start with the Packers pick. They picked Jordan Morgan. I don't know why. It's an odd name. It's not sticking in my head. It's two first names or two last names, I guess, depending on how you look at it. He's a tackle slash guard. So if you have your draft guide, I had my draft guide from Our Lads. Bill got me a copy, which is very nice of him. And I was paging through it last night during the draft. Depending on which draft guide you look at, whether it's The Athletic or Our Lads, I like the Ringer draft guide too. It's very readable and consumable, which is why I like that one. Cheesehead TV typically does a good one, or, you know, Pack a Day. Everyone does a draft guide. And depending on which draft guide you look in, he might have been listed as a tackle, might have been listed as a guard. Brian Gutekunst, you heard it in the open in his comments last night after the first round concluded and he spoke to the media. Our Mike Clemens was there, checked in on the draft show last night on Bill's show. We'll hear from him about the draft in its entirety on Monday, because he's going to be in Green Bay all weekend, you know, asking and getting questions answered of the Packers decision makers. But Goody said, we could envision him playing all four spots, tackle, tackle, guard, guard, not center. Although it's bizarre. Like, it's weird to me. If you could play both tackle spots and you can play both guard spots, you could probably play center. I don't think the Packers are ever going to ask him to do that, but he's versatile as hell. He's athletic as hell. His relative athletic score is over a 9, which means nothing to me. It probably means nothing to some of you, too. Just know that his 40-yard was nuts. His broad jump was nuts. He's quick. He moves well in space. He can get out and run. He is athletic and agile and mobile and not overly heavy. Of course. Of course he was the Packers pick, right? Now, I kind of had my heart set on Cooper DeJean, but I don't think that's because I like Cooper DeJean more than the other corners, Kool-Aid McKinstry or Terrion Arnold or Ennis Rakestra Jr. That's a name. That'll stick in my brain. Jordan Morgan. Jordan Morgan doesn't stick in my head. Ennis Rakestra Jr. That'll stick in my head. I don't think I wanted Cooper DeJean more or thought more of Cooper DeJean than I thought of any of these other players. I just think, and this happens all too often in the draft, when you sit for an hour or two, almost three in the case of the Packers last night, and you see these players coming off the board, with every pick that goes by, like, oh, Cooper DeJean's still there. I didn't think Cooper DeJean was still going to be there. Cooper DeJean's still there. With every pick that goes by, I get more and more excited about the idea of Cooper DeJean, to the point where when the Packers actually make their selection, Jordan Morgan, tackle out of Arizona, I'm like, oh, But if you would have told me at 7 p.m. last night, the Packers will take the tackle slash guard from Arizona, Jordan Morgan, I'd say, all right, cool. Yeah, that's on my list of players that I'm totally fine with. But it's the way that the draft goes. Like last year at the beginning of the draft, if you'd have told me Lucas Van Ness, they're going to add Lucas Van Ness, I said, okay, all right. He's a little odd. And we talked about that at length last year. He seems like a little bit of an odd duck, but good player. But because I sat down and watched the first round pick by pick by pick last year, and with every pick that passed, it's like, oh, Jaxon Smith-Njigba's still there? Jaxon Smith-Njigba's still there? And then Smith-Njigba was on the board. The Packers took Van Ness instead. So my stupid goldfish brain got really excited about Jaxon Smith-Njigba because I didn't think he'd be there, to where, like, the draft experience, sitting down and actually watching it, made me excited for a player that I actually didn't prefer over any other. And last night was the same thing. Cooper DeJean's still on the board. The Packers could trade up to the beginning of the second round tonight, like we saw them do with Christian Watson 2 years ago. And they could still get him. They could get any one of these corners. I really want a corner today. Ideally early. The linebacker Edgerrin Cooper from Texas A&M is another player I think a lot of people have circled. We'll talk more about the second round. The Packers have two picks in there. We'll talk more about the third round. The Packers have two picks in there. I want to mention, at least before we take our first break, what the Falcons did last night and give you my thoughts on that. They took, I almost said J.J. McCarthy. They took Michael Penix Jr. at 8, the cornerback. So Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, 1, 2, 3. Then there were a couple of teams that are either okay with their quarterback or they're okay with their quarterback for now. Select high-level players that aren't quarterbacks. So Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals, wide receiver. Joe Alt, tackle to the Chargers. Malik Nabers to the Giants, another tackle. J.C. Latham. And then the next quarterback off the board goes 8 to Michael Penix. And a lot of people were losing their mind on Twitter last night and on all of the broadcast. I mean, there were so many draft shows. There were so many draft shows. I was almost not embarrassed to be a part of one, but I'm like, there are so many draft shows. I also don't need to be a part of a draft show, but Bill did a great job, and so many viewers and listeners last night. So awesome to be a part of it. But it's like, man, every Tom, Dick, and Harry with a platform and a podcast, Mike's doing a draft show. Everyone's reacting to Michael Penix going to Atlanta. How could they do this? How could they spend the 8th overall pick on a quarterback? They just gave Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed. 4-year contract. How do you turn around and instantly take a quarterback in the draft? When things like this happen, everyone loves to react together, right? I'm not going to say it's a mob mentality. It's a little strong. It's a little incendiary. But it's mob-ish. Groupthink, certainly, where one person goes, how could they have done this? I can't believe you've done this, right? And then everyone else, yeah, God, that is stupid. And the more people that say it's stupid, the more fun it is to also jump in and say that it's stupid. Now everyone's clowning the Cardinals. It's like, wait a minute, let's take a step back and expand our minds and expand our point of view wider than this 2-hour period during the first round of the 2024 NFL draft. Let's think about the season that just concluded, like 2 months ago, 3 months ago. The season that we just watched. I'm not pulling up ancient history. I'm not going back to 2009 or 2002 or 1990. Just consider the season we just watched and consider what Jordan Love did for the Packers after 3 years of being on the bench. Consider how that pick worked out, or consider how that pick is working out so far. Right? I realize we've only seen 1 year of Jordan Love. But once the Packers figured it out this past season, just go back to Thanksgiving, go back to Christmas. We're not digging up ancient history. We're just thinking about a couple months ago. Everyone was going nuts over, man, the Packers just do a good job. They're patient. They're smart. They let their quarterbacks develop. They don't force them to play right away. They take their time, right? Just praising the Packers for the way they do things. I can't believe more teams don't do it this way. Why don't other teams follow the same school of thought that the Packers have been following forever? It works so well for them. Why don't other teams do it? And then fast forward to the draft. Again, not years, not decades. The season we just watched, great example of the Packer way, how they're patient with their quarterbacks, how it worked, and maybe a great bit of evidence as to why other teams should do something similar. Fast forward again, not years, not decades, just a couple months. The Falcons do the Packers thing that we all agree is smart. That we all agree is good team building, responsible, thoughtful team building. And the Falcons take a quarterback and everyone loses their mind. It's like, I don't get it. We just spent months talking about why the Packers are so smart. And if only other teams would approach the quarterback position this way. And then the first chance we have to slam a team for doing what the Packers do, we do it. And we all jump down the Falcons' throat. Now, look, I agree. It's not perfect. Michael Penix is a lot older than Jordan Love. They just gave Kirk Cousins a bunch of money. It's clunky. It's awkward. Kirk Cousins isn't thrilled. He's made that abundantly clear through his representation. I can't imagine Michael Penix is thrilled. He wants to play. I don't blame him. Yeah, they just gave Kirk Cousins a bunch of money. Yeah, Michael Penix is older. But the Falcons like him. They like him a lot. He was the quarterback that they liked most. They liked him more than J.J. McCarthy. They liked him more than Bo Nix. They liked Michael Penix. They wanted Michael Penix. Okay, so he's a little old. Okay, so he's got injury history. Okay, so they gave Kirk Cousins some money. That's not my problem. The owner's good for it. Arthur Blank has a ton of money. That's not a problem. Yeah, it's a little clunky. It was a little clunky with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, too. And I know we have to think back to 3 or 4 years ago, which is so hard for people's, you know, goldfish sports brains during the draft. But Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers wasn't perfect. It wasn't smooth. People, when Jordan Love was taken, weren't saying things like, well, Jordan Love is really young, so he's actually the perfect candidate to sit for a couple of years. And Aaron Rodgers probably won't finish his career with the Packers, but they'll trade him and they'll get a good haul. And Aaron Rodgers will get to go somewhere like the Jets with lots of talent around him for a nice reset at the end of his career. He'll probably love it. And he did. No. No one was saying those things. Everyone was like, well, when is Jordan Love going to play? How is this going to work? You just extended Aaron Rodgers, right? It wasn't smooth when the Packers did it. It's not smooth when the Falcons are doing it, of course, but I think it's smart team building. I think it makes a lot of sense. Kirk Cousins is coming off an Achilles. He's old. He's only won one career playoff game. So I commend the Falcons. I commend the Falcons for saying, yeah, we invested in quarterback big time. We got the sure thing with Kirk Cousins. Now let's get something in the works for when Kirk Cousins maybe won't be here or when maybe Kirk Cousins won't be the best option. That could happen very soon if he doesn't bounce back from the Achilles, right? It's not like they acquired Peyton Manning and immediately drafted a quarterback to sit behind him. It's Kirk Cousins. Come on. Yeah, I know it's not perfect. Okay, Michael Penix is a little old. Well, they should have done it with McCarthy. Oh, okay. Well, we can squabble about the player. I want to talk about the process. I think it's good process. They liked Michael Penix more than they liked J.J. McCarthy. Okay, so what are they supposed to take the quarterback they like less just because he's younger? That's silly. If you like a quarterback and you think he can be your franchise guy, then take him. And all of the outside factors, all the wide receiver they could have had, the lineman they could have had, all of those things will become moot very quickly. Because if you get the quarterback right, everything else is a side quest. And the Falcons like this guy. They think he's their guy. Okay. I like it. I think it's good. And I have a hard time with everyone celebrating the Packers for the last couple of months for their shrewd, smart, thoughtful, conservative, patient team building before then turning around to slam the Falcons for trying to do something similar. I don't like that. I don't think it makes sense. I don't like it. I think it sounds strategy. If you don't like the player, fine. You know, like, all these teams value the players differently. I'm talking about the strategy. I think the strategy is a good one. Let's take a 3-minute break. The Bucs game is going to get started pretty soon. We're talking about the Packers' first round pick. It's a very Packers pick, right? Thin, athletic, mobile tackle who can play multiple spots around the line. Of course, it makes all the sense in the world. So we can talk about that pick. We can talk about other things that happened in last night's very entertaining first round of the NFL draft. And of course, we'll look forward to rounds 2 and 3 later. I think it's a huge day for the Packers. I think this is a huge day, specifically today, rounds 2 and 3. They have 4 combined picks. Today is a huge day for the Packers. We'll talk about that as well. I'll explain what exactly I mean when I say it's a huge day for the Packers and for the franchise. 608-321-1670. Send me a text with your thoughts. We can talk on the phone. Give me a call as well. I'm on Twitter at Wisco Grant. Wisco Sports Show back in 3 minutes.
This is the Wisco Sports Show with Grant Bills on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
The draft is the lifeblood of this organization. It always kind of has been, right? So, like, it's that's why we put so much time into it. That's why it's so important to us. It's a funny thing. It's you can't predict it. And some classes turn out better than others for a lot of variety of reasons. The guys in that locker room are counting us to bring in the right kind of guys to help them achieve their goals. And that's one of the things I think I feel really good about right now is just, not only the culture that we have, how strong it's become, but the willingness for all those guys to compete and when new competition comes in to embrace that.
That's Brian Gutekunst on Monday talking about the importance of the draft. Maybe we'll hear a little bit more from Brian Gutekunst. His comments last night were good. That's him just speaking generically about the importance of the draft to the Green Bay Packers. The importance of the draft to the Green Bay Packers. The Bucs game is starting in a couple minutes. I guess we're going to watch that while doing the show. That'll be an experience. Started the show just by talking about the Packers' new O-lineman. It's a very Packers pick. I think I would have appreciated this pick more and liked this pick more if you just would have told me at the beginning of the night, before the draft ever started, that they're going to get Jordan Morgan or Morgan. God, I don't know why this name isn't sticking in my head. It's two first names, two last names. Jordan Morgan, tackle/guard, depending on where you look, from Arizona, Pac-12 guy. So we'll talk about that. I actually think today is one of the most important days for the Packers franchise in the last couple of years, and I think today will be a defining day. Today, with four picks between the second and third round, this is going to be one of the most important days for this Packers team with Jordan Love and with Matt LaFleur and with Brian Gutekunst. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll get to the phones. First, a text from Brent in Arena. Hell yes. First of all, a contributor from Arena says, can we talk about how overproduced the ESPN draft coverage has become? I understand the picks are leaked to the network so they can get video and graphics ready, but ESPN leaks the name to Schefter and he pretends he has inside info about what each team is thinking before the pick is announced, and it completely spoils the pick. And it's all to justify the enormous salary Schefter receives. It's almost unwatchable. That's Brent Narina. It's long. It's overproduced. But that's because people watch it. You know? Of course, they're going to have nice packages on the players and graphics and all the things. I'm not sure that stuff is leaked to ESPN ahead of time. I just think they do prep for, you know, an appropriate number of players, which is probably why Mike Mayock and the Raiders, like, getting Cleveland Farrell and Damon Arnett in the first round a couple of years ago. Like, there's people scrambling at ESPN and NFL Network. It's like, all right, we thought this was a day two guy. Pull the footage. You know what I mean? They're scrambling. So I don't think ESPN directly needs to know who's going where. I think they probably have footage and talking points and stuff prepared for all these players, and they just wait to fire it up when the player's name comes off the board. Look, I'll give Schefter credit. He spoils a little bit. He's not as bad as Woj and Shams. That is obnoxious. The NBA draft, when Woj and Shams just take turns spoiling every pick, because the NBA draft is a crummy product, right? You should not punish the people who actually tune in to watch that by spoiling picks. I'm watching the NFL draft either way. Tip the picks, don't tip the picks. I don't care. I can make the choice to not go on Twitter if I don't want to. The NBA insider, they don't give us a choice. We have a little bit of a choice with the NFL, and the TV product is awesome. It's more exciting. It's more entertaining. It's more consequential. It bothers me more in the NBA draft, and I think I talked about that the other day, Brent. 608-321-1670, your calls. Wisco Sports Show, who's this?
Grant, happy Manor Lords release day to all who celebrate.
Manor Lords, what is that? Briefly, tell me what that is.
It is the most anticipated game on Steam. It set the record for most saves or whatever you do. So, very nerdy stuff. There's probably one other listener that this is relevant.
Well, I'm all for niche talking points that only a couple of people appreciate. I think that's fun. I like that. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm sure a couple people do, and it's appreciated. So thank you for that.
If you want to watch your medieval farmers farm crops with a nice violin in the background while occasionally getting raided by your barbarian neighbors, this is the game for you.
I might get into Farm Simulator. I don't know. I feel like I would enjoy it. That's my favorite part of Minecraft, is just crops. Farming crops,
we can just
maybe
all be a little bit more like AJ Dillon. And I tell you what, yeah. AJ Dillon excited for Jordan Morgan. How about that transition, Grant?
That's well done.
We brought it all the way back.
Yep.
I mean, this is perfect, right? I was very surprised at how many quarterbacks were coming off the board. I think, like, if you think about the Russell Wilson draft 2012, I think you're seeing quarterbacks picked because of how desperate these loser franchises are. They're so desperate to find the next guy who years ago would have been drafted in the third round. But now these teams are so desperate to win now, especially a team like the Falcons with a giant, fairly new stadium and a fan base that's just really pissed off by the ownership decisions that have been made recently. So they're desperate to win now. Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, all guys that would have been drafted in rounds 2 or 3 10 years ago. Now you have these loser franchises, Grant, that are just desperate. I don't really get it. But
I'm not sure that I agree with that framing. Loser franchises that are desperate, they need quarterbacks. You can't do anything if you don't have a quarterback. So by hook or by crook, getting the quarterback any way that you can, I don't know that that means you're desperate. It means you need a quarterback. And teams that need a quarterback should do anything and everything they can as quickly as possible to get one. Don't you think?
I don't disagree, but I also have watched the 49ers over the last 10 years. You know what I mean? Like, let's not pretend that their quarterback situation has been elite at any point.
They're the outlier, but you're correct. There's more than one way to do this, but I think trying to do it without a quarterback is proven more difficult than not. I don't think that's the smart way to do it, but yes, the Niners do exist.
I would agree, and I will say this. What the Falcons did yesterday is not the same as what the Bears had done in the past, what Carolina did. I just feel like the standard for these franchises, and you started the show talking a lot about these moves that these teams make because they do need a quarterback and because they didn't prepare ahead.
Sure.
So you look at what Carolina did last year, trading away their basically entire future to go get Bryce Love. None of these guys, I mean, we saw 5 or 6 quarterbacks taken.
Yeah, six in the top 12. Bo Nix was the sixth guy at the 12th pick, which is wild and awesome. I love it, but it's wild.
This is speculation, but how many of those do you think make it to win a playoff game in their career?
Well, very few, but you could say that about most first-round quarterbacks. Like, it's hard. It's hard to find quarterbacks. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try.
It's hard. I don't like it. If I'm the Falcons, like, the one thing, it's just such a different situation from the Rodgers Love thing because they just brought in Kirk Cousins.
Sure.
Because he just turned 35, he has 5 more years that he probably could play quarterback. And with Rodgers, it had been, you know, time enough. He was coming off his worst of year of his career. He had been with the Packers for a long, long time. Very different situations, but
I'm not sure why that is pertinent to this draft pick, though. Like, okay, Rodgers had been there forever. Rodgers was still the age that he was and declining the way that he was. I don't care that Kirk Cousins just got to town. That doesn't change the fact that he's old and he's coming off of an Achilles, and it doesn't hurt to have another guy. I understand that those, yes, are differences. I don't think those differences matter.
Yeah, I guess we can agree to disagree there. I just think using a top 10 pick is a lot different than using the 29th overall pick. But to your point, if that's what you need to do and you absolutely need a quarterback, it's just as Packer fans, maybe we haven't felt that in a long time. And I think watching the draft yesterday, I got all in my throat. Watching the draft yesterday made it very clear that our football watching experience has been a lot different than a lot of franchises. And you may be absolutely right. And I'm just a Packer fan. And in my lifetime, I haven't had to deal with this. So we're blessed. Let's go, Morgan.
We are blessed. Look, I'm not saying that the Packers aren't markedly better at this than other teams. Appreciate you, Vagabond John. The Packers are the best at this. But that doesn't mean that the Falcons can't try. And yeah, of course, there's a difference between the 25th overall pick or wherever Jordan Love went. What was he, 26th? Of course, there's a difference between 26 and 8. Of course. But it's a quarterback. And I've been very consistent on this throughout the years. Not that it matters. Go listen to what I've said, because I just tell you this all the time. I'm not really that concerned about being right. I would rather be interesting. I'd rather have good conversations and entertaining. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I talk for 2 hours a day. I'm going to be wrong. But I feel like I've been pretty consistent about this over the last few years. If there's a quarterback that a GM likes, go get the guy. Don't futz around with it. Don't mess around. If you're picking at 6 and there's a quarterback that you really like and you think that he'll be great and you think that he could be your franchise quarterback, take him. Don't be like, well, we could trade down and maybe still get him at 12. The trade down, that'll all be irrelevant. If you're right about the quarterback and you get the guy that you like and he is who you think he is, then that one extra draft pick is not going to make a difference. You have secured your franchise with the quarterback. So whether it's pick 26, whether it's pick 8, if you like the quarterback, take the quarterback. Totally. 100%. And look, if you don't like Penix, fine. If you would have liked McCarthy more, if you would have liked Nix more, fine. I don't even really care about the player. I'm more so talking about the process. Because I think if the process is sound, then it's up to the Falcons. Which quarterback do you like? Take the one that you like. And I think it would be silly for them to pass up on the quarterback they like more to take the other guy simply because he's younger. That doesn't make sense to me. Take the guy you want. They wanted Penix. I think it's a good pick. I think it's a great pick. And if he never plays, he never plays. I don't know. I don't think Terry Fontenot did himself any favors last night. He was like, well, if he doesn't play for 4 or 5 years, that's a good problem to have. It's like, well, while that is true, maybe don't say it out loud. You know what I mean? Like, the presentation matters. The spin on a selection like this matters because it's never popular with fans or media people. 608-321-1670. One more call, then we'll take a break. Let's go Sports Show. Who's this?
Injured in a car wreck. Time to call Jordan Morgan and Associates. Dude. We got the law firm, baby.
I keep wanting to say, like, Morgan McGill, Morgan Stanley, James Morgan McGill, I think is Saul Goodman's first name. I'm really tripping over this name. I don't know why, but it won't stick in my brain, Cohn.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most Packers pick ever, you know, and I think we got to trust Goody. We got to trust the Packers organization. They draft offensive line pretty much better than anybody else in the league. I mean, Pittsburgh does as well, but I mean, we're top tier offensive line development. So, you know, we're about to invest all this money in Jordan Love. We might as well protect him. I think it's a good pick. Makes sense.
Yeah.
It's Goody. It's a Goody pick.
Yeah, and I think offensive line is not that dissimilar from quarterback in that the best time to take O-lineman is when you're not dying for an O-lineman. Like, I don't want to have to take a tackle, especially 25th overall. Like, if we're drafting Joe Alt at 5, okay, Joe Alt probably, we'll see, can step in and be a day one starter. Jordan Morgan doesn't need to step in right away. So they can bring him along, they can develop him, they can be more select about where they play him. I think he's in a great spot coming in and joining the team this year.
If we saw Joe Alt's, like, you know, him reacting to getting picked, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Just an all-time offensive lineman.
Yeah.
You know, kind of awkward, no personality. That guy is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he looks trivial. He's from Minnesota, by the way. I looked it up. That makes all the sense in the world that he's from Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I've heard Packer fans saying this is another Derek Sherrod pick. I don't know how you can say that after, I don't know.
I mean, maybe he doesn't turn into a great player. They're taking him at 25. There's no guarantees. They're not taking the top tackle in the draft. I feel a lot better about this pick with them sticking at 25 and taking him. If they would have jumped up and given up a third or a fourth and taken a player like this, I would have liked it less. You know what I mean? Because I don't think they're putting all their eggs in the Jordan Morgan basket. They need to start to rebuild this offensive line. Not rebuild. They need to restock this offensive line. And they took a player that they liked. They didn't jump up and put all their eggs in one basket for one guy. They took the guy that they liked. And now we move on to rounds 2 and 3.
And I think we used this analogy last year with the wide receivers. But, you know, it's like getting avocados. You got to get them at different ripeness.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, you spread them out. Yeah, I don't want to wait until the O-line is old and decrepit to start over and start drafting guys that are going to need to play right away. So this is a perfect depth building move. If he doesn't play this year, that's a good problem. And if he plays, that means he's playing well, probably, because I think they'll take another lineman or two, and they already have a bunch of linemen that they already like.
Hey, man, and before I go,
yeah.
I mean, isn't it just hilarious that the Broncos are the team to end up with Bo Nix? I mean, Bo Nix, Zach Wilson, Sean Payton. I don't know if they're eligible for Hard Knocks this year. I don't know if Zach Wilson would want to do Hard Knocks back-to-back years, but, oh, man, that would be must-watch television.
It would be. I appreciate you, Cohn. Hey, fins up. Have a good weekend, okay?
Yeah, fins up, Grant. Never miss a Friday show.
Thank you, Cohn. That is a Cohn roller. The Bronco. I was tweeting back and forth last night with Colton Bartholomew, who used to be at the La Crosse Tribune. Now he covers the Badgers football team for the State Journal. He's a Broncos fan. And I was giving him guff because, I mean, Bo Nix just feels like another Paxton Lynch, another Brock Osweiler, another Jay Cutler. Honestly, he just feels like another one of the same guy that they've had countless times in my lifetime. And it's funny. And I was listening to the Ringer NFL draft show earlier today. So like Heifetz, Solak, Kelly, Horlbeck, all those guys. And someone made the joke that a week ago, Jarrett Stidham was the best quarterback in the Broncos quarterback room. And then they acquired Zach Wilson and drafted Bo Nix. And Jared Stidham is still the best quarterback in the room. It's funny to watch Sean Payton go through this. And the spin zone from Schefter about it last night was hilarious, too. Maybe we'll talk about that at some point tonight. Let's take a 5-minute break. Continue to hear your thoughts, your tweets, your texts, your calls next. It's the Wisco Sports Show.
This is the Wisco Sports Show with Grant Bills on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
In banana peels. Then when something new gets added to your list, you're like, nope, I'm already climbing this huge, super slippery banana peel mountain of a to-do list. At Progressive, we don't want to make your day any harder. That's why we make it easy to manage your policy on our mobile app. So climbing that banana peel mountain feels more like a leisurely stroll. See if you can save on commercial auto insurance in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
Some people just know there's a better way to do things, like bundling your home and auto insurance with Allstate, or hiring someone to move your piano instead of doing it yourself. So, do things the better way. Bundle home and auto and save up to 25%.
Wisco Sports Show. My name is Grant Bills. Happy Friday. Fins up. It's Friday. I was listening to some really old Buffett earlier today. White sport coat, pink crustacean era Buffett. Country Buffett just hits every time. We're waiting on the Bucks game to start. I saw 4:30 start times. It doesn't look like they're starting anytime soon. Lisa and Marcus are sitting courtside. Does that mean 5 o'clock start time? I don't know. Everyone gets bent out of shape about NBA start times. I'm never going to be the, if you say you're starting at 4:30, you should start at 4:30 guy. Like, I start whenever. I just tell me. Just tell me accurately. The Bucks are going to start at some point, and I guess we will endure this Bucks game together, at least until 6 o'clock. We've been talking about the draft. Would love to continue to get your thoughts. 608-321-1670. Dylan from Eau Claire texts in, and I got a couple tweets like this too. It says, can you share your thoughts on Wade Miley needing Tommy John surgery and the state of the Brewers starting pitching? Trevor Bauer is out there pitching great, but comes with lots of baggage. He's pitching great. That's news. That is news to me, Dylan. He's not pitched in the majors since 2021. I could give a rip about his baggage. I actually don't think baggage is the concern with Trevor Bauer. I don't think he's good anymore. I don't think he's been good for a while. He wasn't good in Japan last year. He hasn't pitched in the majors since 2021. That's a long time. So I don't mean to jump down your throat, Dylan. It's just Trevor Bauer, Trevor. There's 30 Major League Baseball teams that could go get him. And no one's even marginally interested. No one's even giving him minor league tryouts. I think he's cooked. He's done. And I don't think it's because he's likes to have weird boundary pushing sex. I just don't think he's a good pitcher anymore. So I'm down for the Brewers adding. I would rather them trade a low-level prospect for Brent Suter than bring in Trevor Bauer, because I think Brent Suter can still pitch. I don't think Trevor Bauer can pitch anymore. Yeah, the Wade Miley thing sucks. He's done for the year. I would imagine his career is probably over. He's going to have Tommy John surgery. I can't imagine he wants to keep going. If he does, more power to him. I guess I shouldn't speak to his intentions. I don't know his intentions. But that sucks for the Brewers. That sucks for Wade, because I really like him. The team really likes him. And they're running out of arms. Pat Murphy also said today that J.B. Bukauskas is going to go on the 60. Or let me correct myself. He might be going on the 60 day. Might be. Pitched 3 times in 4 days. Is it the weekend series against the Orioles, I think? Bukauskas got the call 3 out of 4 days. 3 times in 4 days. And this is why when Pat Murphy pulls Joe Ross at 79 pitches, and he says, well, this early in the season, we have our best pitchers, you know, the health of our pitchers in mind. That's what's in the front of our mind. Okay, well, for some guys, what about the relievers? You're babying these starters. They can't throw more than 60, 70 pitches. They can't get out of the fourth or the fifth because we want to baby them and we want to make sure they're healthy all year. Okay, that's fine, but you're going to completely decimate your bullpen in the meantime. Bukauskas is part of that, right? So, and I understand somebody needs to cover the innings, right? Somebody, and if the starters aren't any good, they haven't been any good, someone needs to pitch the innings. I'm aware. Somebody's got to do it. I don't like Murphy talking out of both sides of his mouth. And that sounds like I'm really slamming him. I'm not. I don't think you can pitch J.B. Bukauskas 3 times in 4 days and then pull Joe Ross at 79 innings and say, well, we have the best interests of our pitchers, the health of our pitchers at front of mind. I don't think I accept that. I'm bent out of shape about the Joe Ross start, because when you have a guy who could get you 6 full innings and still throw less than 85 pitches, you have to take advantage of that. And that was a missed opportunity by Murphy earlier this week. The Wade Miley thing sucks. They're going to have to add. I don't think they have to add a high-level starter. I think they could add a good middle reliever and that would help this team a lot, especially if Bukauskas is going to be down for 60 days. They're going to have to add Trevor Bauer. No, thank you. And again, not to jump down your throat, Dylan. It's just I'm sick of the Trevor Bauer. I'm sick of it. I'm really, really sick of it. 608-321-1670, Wisco Sports Show. Who's this?
Grant, I hope you are well.
I hope you are well as well. Is this, don't tell me I know who this is, Gabe's?
Close.
Who is this?
Bubba from Cranberry
Bubba
Country.
From Crash. Sorry, Bubba, it's been a while. What's going on? What's new?
Okay, yeah, it's been about 6 months. A couple kudos going out today for, one for the Packers picking Morgan Fairchild or, Jim Jordan, whichever one it was.
Morgan Jordan.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I thought that was a liquor. Anyways.
Sounds like it. You like the pick? Cool.
Yeah, do actually.
Okay.
Yeah, he's quick and nimble, and everybody kind of freaked out at our party that we had when they did that. But
where do you have a draft party in Warren's?
At my house.
Okay. Just wondering if there's a spot. Okay.
So then the second kudo, I'd like to David Bakhtiari for tweeting out his response to that or Xing or starring, whatever it's called now, about the pick. And then when I go to sleep at night, I thank God that we have 24-hour channels for Cornhole League and Pickleball.
What channel's that?
It's probably the I don't remember. We picked it up one night, and it was on all night. It was on when I woke up in the morning. I'm like, good Lord, people watch pickleball.
Are you somebody that needs the television on to fall asleep? You need a movie on. You need a show on. Are you one of those people, Bubba?
Yes, because my wife snores like a busted chainsaw.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that could be a white noise machine, too. I have friends who, like, need the TV on to fall asleep. I could leave the TV on all night. I would never fall asleep. I would never. At no point would I get tired enough to fall asleep with the TV playing. I need it off. Even my bedroom TV is not large. It's very small. Still, I would need it off. I could never.
My wife used to be the same way. Turn that thing off. No.
No. Babe, the Brewers are on, and I know it's 12-3 in the seventh inning, and the Brewers aren't coming back, but I need to watch this. I need to see what Thiago Vieira does in the eighth and ninth inning. The game stays on, babe. Sorry.
It stays on. I'm watching replays of NASCAR's Greatest Races. Leave me alone.
Yeah, seriously. Hop off. Go to sleep. Go sleep on the couch if you don't like it.
I hope they pick Cooper DeJean here at the end. And, oh, by the way, that Bryce Jordan guy in Carolina, he's really awesome.
Bryce Young, the quarterback?
Yeah. Jesus. Called him before, called him Bryce Jordan.
You called him Bryce. You called him Bryce Love, which I get because Caleb Love played quarterback where? At Arizona. I struggled with that a little bit, too. It's just... You know, Vagabond John watches as much college football as anybody. Bubba, I got to run, but I appreciate you. Have a good weekend in Warren's, okay?
Yeah, you too, sir.
Yeah, Bubba in Cranberry County. It's been a while since we've heard from Bubba. Still not 100% convinced his name is Bubba or he lives in Cranberry Country in Warren's. Bog Country. More underrated, sneaky underrated part of the state. Not glamorous, but a lot to do. Well, that's not true. A lot to be enjoyed. If you haven't bobber fished out of an abandoned cranberry bog, you haven't lived. You haven't really appreciated everything that the state has to offer, from the lakefront to the riverfront and everything in between, as Bill Michaels, the big unit, would say. Let's take our final three-minute break of the hour. We'll come back. I don't have much more to say about Wade Miley. I want to talk mostly about the draft tonight. I'm going to defend the Falcons. I think it was smart. The Bills did something that just fascinates me, and maybe we could talk about that for 2 minutes when we wrap up hour number one next.
This is the Wisco Sports Show with Grant Bills on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Wisco Sports Show, I am a bozo, hand up. The Bucks game had started. My Valley Sports stream, so I'm a Valley Sports Plus guy now. It was behind. It needed to refresh or update, and I was like 25 minutes behind. So now it is on. There's 5 minutes left in the first quarter. The Bucks are down 6, and Bobby Portis just made back-to-back bad plays. I should have just left the stream off. I don't need to watch this. I want to talk about the draft. I'd rather talk about Wade Miley's injury than watch and talk about this Bucks game. I'm just... Whatever. I mean, they could win. They could win. I'm just so frustrated. And I'm frustrated as a fan to the point where I don't really know what to say. I don't really know what analysis to provide. So I'm just going to leave it on, and we'll dig deep in the second half when it actually starts to come down to the wire. I said before the break that I think sneaky, like low-key one of the funniest moments of the NFL draft, the first round of the NFL draft last night, was the Buffalo Bills trading pick 28 to the Chiefs. Now, the transaction on its face was funny. Forget the player that was selected, Xavier Worthy, who's the fastest wide receiver in the draft and instantly one of the fastest players in the NFL. Forget the player. This transaction is hilarious because as soon as I saw the notification, if it was Schefter or Albert Breer or Rappaport, whoever it was, Garofalo, I don't know. As soon as I saw the notification, I immediately thought of the last time that the Bills traded a pick to the Chiefs, and that was the pick to draft Patrick Mahomes. So I saw the transaction. I saw the trade. I'm like, oh, so we're doing this again, huh? Okay. And then it turns out to be Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver, which is hilarious given the Bills need wide receiver help. Now, they could still get plenty. They could still get a guy in the second, the third, the fourth. The draft is long. And because the first round of the NFL draft is the standalone product on Thursday night, we often react to round number one like it's the end-all, be-all. And we all know better. We got to remind ourselves, like, yeah, there's six more rounds. The second round, the third round. There's a lot more players yet to come off the board. Good players. So the Bills could totally still get good players. They could still get wide receivers. They need them because they lost Gabe Davis, who was probably overpaid in Jacksonville. They lost Stephon Diggs, and they're still going to pay him a little bit of money. They needed him out of the building. They need wide receivers for Josh Allen, and they hand the pick to the Chiefs to draft the fastest wide receiver in the draft. I just, you need to be really, really secure in your evaluations, and you need to be secure in your decision-making. And in one weird way, it's a feather in the Bills' cap. I think teams are more willing to trade within the division, to trade within the conference, because that's how you get deals done. You don't want to shrink the pool. You don't want to shrink the market for making any deals. But, man, it's going to look extra bad if Xavier Worthy turns out to be a star. That's more egg on the Bills' face. They traded Patrick Mahomes to the Chiefs, essentially, years ago. Hour 2 Wisco Sports Show will continue next.
With the 25th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers and hosts for the 2025 NFL Draft select Jordan Morgan, tackle, Arizona.
Stuck at 25, Jordan Morgan. I'm really excited. Versatile offensive lineman like we like, you know, really athletic, and we really kind of feel he can probably play four positions for us. Our kind of guy.
This is where Wisconsin gathers to talk sports. Packers, Brewers, Badgers, Bucks. The Wisco Sports Show is on the air. Now, here's your host, Grant Bills.
Well, it's not going well for the Bucks. They are down 22-12. It's 4 minutes left in the first quarter. I was just reading some tweets. I saw a couple from Seth Partnow. I agree. The Bucks just can't miss shots at the rim. In that they can't miss layups, they can't miss shots at the rim, because if Bobby Portis or Brooke Lopez, for example, are farting around the rim, whether it's a layup or a hook shot or a floater, whatever, if that shot doesn't go in, then Bobby Portis or Brooke Lopez is standing flat-footed under the rim, the Pacers get the rebound, and it's off the other direction, and the Bucks are in a 5v4 or a 4v5, depending on how you want to look at it. So I'm struggling to see the calculus of how this is going to work. The Bucks, first and foremost, have to make almost all of their threes. Like, they're going to have to shoot 40% or better in all of these games if they want to win them. And they're going to have to change up some strategy. If this is the version of Bobby Portis that we're going to get, then I'd just rather not have him out there. I mean that. It's not like he's hitting his spot up threes. I'd rather have AJ Green out there. I'd rather have Andre Jackson Jr. out there. Because if Bobby Portis can't hit threes and he's not finishing around the rim, he is such a detriment. And so is Brooke Lopez. Like, and I really like Brooke. If Brooke's hitting threes, it's one thing. But you can't even really put Brooke under the rim and allow him to post up and allow him to do all those things. Because unless he's hitting all of those shots, the team's at a disadvantage the second that Indiana gets the rebound. Because they just want to get out and run. So the path to victory in this game and all of these games moving forward is narrow. Giannis apparently isn't running hard, cutting hard, jumping hard yet. Chris has got a gimpy ankle, and I actually have a lot of respect for him gutting through that ankle injury in game two, and I have a lot of respect for him being out there. I think Chris is a lot tougher than most people give him credit for. He's just old and has had some bad luck, fluky injuries. I just struggle to see the Bucks' path without Giannis. And that sucks. I don't know what that means for the offseason. We're not going to talk about that. Here's what I don't want. I don't want calls tonight or even next week on trades that the Bucks need to make, players they need to get rid of, players they need to acquire. We'll do that down the line. I don't want to do that right now. We'll talk about the series when we have things to say. Oh, good. Bobby Portis is checking back in. I mostly want to talk about the draft tonight. This draft is so much fun. The Packers, very standard pick. There's nothing out of left field. There's nothing out of the ordinary for Jordan Morgan. He's slimmer, faster, more athletic, gets out in space, runs really well, versatile, can play multiple positions along the line. Of course, that's the most Packers selection ever. I was a little disappointed. Disappointed is probably even an unfair word. I was a little deflated when the pick happened because, man, I thought Cooper DeJean was coming to Green Bay. And he still might. He's still on the board, and the Packers could trade up, or, you know, they could stick at pick 41. Who knows? If the league is a lot lower on Cooper DeJean than everybody else, and it seems like that's the case, well, then who knows how far he could fall? Who knows? Maybe he gets to pick 41, kind of like Josh Jackson did back in 2017? 28, what year was Josh Jackson? 2017? 28? He was at least 2017 or 2018. I think he might have been 2018. Because he ate up Hornibrook, and that would have been in, what, 16, 17, or 17, 18? I guess it doesn't really matter. I was deflated when the pick happened because I wanted Cooper DeJean. And you know, you sit and you watch. And when your team picks in the mid-20s, you have to watch all these other teams make their selections. And with every selection that goes by, you're kind of keeping count in your head. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, Cooper DeJean's still there. Oh, he's still on the board. I didn't think he'd make it this far. He's still there. He's still on board. Still available. So you get your hopes up, and you get excited, and you get excited. And then when the guy's there, your team comes up to pick, and they don't take him. You're like, ugh, what did I get so worked up for? What did I get so excited for? And I said this at the beginning of the show, and I think this is a reasonable way to think about it. If you just told me the pick at the beginning of the draft, I would have loved it. I would have been fine with it. If you'd have told me, hey, they're going to take Jordan Morgan, who's a versatile lineman, very athletic. He fits the mold for a lot of players that they've had in the past. Makes all the sense in the world. If you'd have told me that, I'd be like, okay, yeah, makes sense. Great. Thumbs up. But it's the sitting and the waiting and the excitement and the anticipation that builds all these players. And I'm more prone to corners. You look around the NFC North, and again, not necessarily drafting for need. You don't want to draft to play against any certain opponent. I don't think that's good business. You want to draft good players. That's good business. But the Packers need help on the back end. I think other than Jair Alexander, I'm a little underwhelmed. Of course, they brought in Xavier McKinney, but I want corners that can cover. I want guys. Jeff Hafley wants guys who can play man coverage, who can push guys around, who can hold up in one-on-ones if need be. And I don't think Valentine or Ballantyne have proven to be those guys yet. They could be great, but I want those guys to be great, if they are going to be great, in a group that also has a couple really nice young prospects. So I'm hoping that's what they take care of today, because look around the division. The Vikings got Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson. The Bears got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and they drafted Rome Odunze last night. And the Lions are great too, with Sam Laporta and Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown. This division is loaded with young, up-and-coming, athletic as hell wide receivers. Gonna need to combat that. So I'm hoping today, between rounds 2 and 3, get some corners, get some safeties, get more athletic, get faster, get younger on the back end of the defense. That's my goal for today. I mean, that's been my goal all along. I thought that maybe it would happen last night. The Lions jumped the Packers to take Terrion Arnold. Maybe the Packers had Terrion Arnold higher on their board than Jordan Morgan. I didn't get the sense that the Packers were anything but absolutely thrilled to get the player that they got last night. So I think Brian Gutekunst is well aware. We got 4 more picks tomorrow. Like, we can't address every need. We can't take every player tonight. It's just one pick. They got 4 tonight. I think tonight is a massive night for the Green Bay Packers organization. What they do or don't do in the second and third round tonight will have long-reaching ramifications for this team and how good they can be and how high they can climb in the postseason. This is a huge day. Gutekunst said that last night. I'm going to play you that comment in a little bit. First, got a couple callers on hold I want to get to. 608-321-1670. Wisco Sports Show. Who's this?
This is John from Chippewa.
John in Chippewa. Have we talked before, John?
Yes, we have. It's been a long time.
Okay. You sound... I thought you were hectoring on Alaska for a second, so I was a little confused. What's up, John? Welcome back.
Yeah, I don't really talk too much because I primarily follow football, but... I was just going to say, one of the earlier callers, I think Vagabond John, talked about how, you know, why the Falcons should have shouldn't have drafted a quarterback. My opinion is, you know, last year how many starting quarterbacks went down?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what if Kirk Cousins goes down again? I mean, you know, I don't know. He's 34, right?
30. I think he's older than that. Let me look it up. I thought he was closer to 36. He's 30. He's 35. Turns 36 in August.
Okay. All right. So he's 35 years old. And last year in the NFL was proof that if you don't have a good backup, you're kind of as well. It happened with the Vikings, happened with the Cleveland Browns. The Browns got super fortunate with Joe Flacco, which I was very happy about because I'm a Browns fan.
Interesting.
But at the end of the day, yeah, your starter is key. But if your starter goes down, I mean, last year there was like seven or eight starting quarterbacks that were down and out.
A lot of these teams are starting to prioritize quarterback too, backup quarterback, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. And so just I think I would say it wasn't a bad move. I mean, just because they didn't trade the world to get him. If they had traded, you know, two first-rounders or something to get him and then it was a quarterback, like, yeah, that would be really stupid. You know, and for teams that don't have good quarterbacks, the Cleveland Browns have never had a good quarterback until Baker Mayfield, who's no longer with them. But, like, I mean, the bottom line is that you have to swing for quarterbacks. But in my opinion, why is it a bad pick? I mean, if Kirk Cousins goes down, then they would be like, oh, well, they drafted a quarterback. Like, that was freaking stupid. You're like, you know, or like, yeah, Zach Wilson. We all know Zach Wilson's terrible. I mean, he's proven to be a, you know, a whatever quarterback in the NFL. So, in my opinion, I don't know. I wouldn't say it's terrible. And, yeah, I mean, you got to draft a quarterback. Why wait, you know? I mean, so that's my opinion.
I agree. I don't think it's a bad pick. You were asking, why is it a bad pick? Well, I think it's a bad pick because Penix is a little older and he's injury-prone. But I don't get the injury-prone stuff. Like, okay, so if he goes to the Raiders, he's all of a sudden a great pick and we're not worried about the injuries? Like, why is the injury-prone history, why is the injury-riddled history only a problem for the Falcons? That I don't get. People were talking about why this is a bad pick because he got an injury history. Okay, so is that unique to the Falcons? You're telling me if he's drafted to the Raiders or the Broncos or the Vikings, we're not worried about his injuries? I'm not sure why that is a point of contention in this discussion with the Falcons. If you just don't like Penix, fine. But then we're talking about the player. I want to talk about the process. I think this is good process. And it bothers me. It's frustrating that we just finished a season that was such a celebration of the way the Packers do things. It's like, man, why don't more teams do it the Packers way? Why don't more teams take the quarterback a little earlier and let them develop? Right? Let them come along slowly. So when they go out onto the field, they're ready and they have a grasp of the offense and they have a grasp of playing the game at the NFL level. We just spent months doing that after the success that was Jordan Love's first season once the team got it going. And it's frustrating and confusing and baffling to me then how we get to draft night just a couple months later and the Falcons do the Packers thing. And they're going to take a quarterback and let him come along slowly. And keep him in the background. And I just, I don't understand why now everyone's mad about it. I understand Penix is a little on the older side. Okay. So he's 24 instead of 22. Does that make him a worse quarterback? Is that a reason for the Falcons to like him less? I don't get the implication from people that, well, J.J. McCarthy would have been better because he's younger. Well, but do they like J.J. McCarthy? Do they like the player? Do they like the person? Do they like the traits? I'm not going to take a quarterback simply because he's younger. That's not good business. I want the guy who I think is the better player. And the Falcons obviously took the guy they think is the better player. Yeah, Kirk Cousins is being paid a bunch of money. It's the owner's money. Arthur Blank's good for it. It's not like they're charging fans. I don't know. I saw Mike Florio tweet last night. And look, Mike Florio gets beat up on a lot. I talked to Mike Florio more than once at the Super Bowl. I think Mike Florio is hilarious. I know a lot of people are bothered because he's like NFL conspiracy theory guy or he's always taking pot shots at Aaron Rodgers. Okay, who's not taking pot shots at Aaron Rodgers? I don't I don't care. I think Florio's funny. He tweeted this last night. I don't agree with this. He tweeted, if I'm a Falcons fan, I have plenty of questions about why they'd give $100 million to Kirk Cousins and then use the 8th pick overall on Michael Penix. Florio, Mike, they just watched Desmond Ridder for the last 2 years. If anyone understands signing a free agent and drafting a guy, it should be Falcons fans. They know more than anybody what it's like limited by a limited quarterback. So let's say the Falcons begin this season and Kirk Cousins is struggling with his Achilles and he's not really that good and he needs more time to Okay, well then they have a 24-year-old rookie ready to step in and play right away. And if Kirk Cousins plays this year and he's not great and then we get into next year and he's still not great, okay, he's a little over the hill. He's lost a step. He hasn't bounced back from the injury. Okay, we can go to Penix. They can get out of this deal in 3 years, and I know that seems like a long time. Trust me, it's not. The 3 years that Jordan Love sat on the bench went by very quickly, right? He doesn't cause any... The quarterback sitting on the bench doesn't cause any problems. It's not going to create issue. No. He will sit there and be a good sport because he doesn't have a choice, and Kirk Cousins will play nice because he doesn't have a choice. He's getting $100 million guaranteed dollars. To quote Don Draper, that's what the money's for. You're paid money to play football, but also to deal with all the other stuff, to do press conferences, to be the face of the franchise, and to deal with it if your general manager signs or drafts your eventual replacement. It's part of the game. Rodgers knows it. Kirk Cousins knows it. I do think it's really funny that last year, you know, Rodgers hurts his Achilles and Kirk Cousins hurts his Achilles, and I listened to more than one segment, which I know doesn't sound significant, but if two or three sports talkers had this take, then it's a significant take. I remember Cowherd talking about it specifically. It's like, okay, look, Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, hurts his Achilles, continues to create drama off the field, continues to be noisy, continues to take the attention away from the team, continues to be a distraction. But look at Kirk Cousins, right? Quietly biding his time, attacking his rehab. That's the type of player I want. And it's hilarious that the first moment, the first opportunity that Kirk Cousins has to be a little bit of a diva, he takes it. You know what I mean? They draft his replacement and instantly, within the hour, Mike McCartney, his agent, is putting out statements like, yeah, we're a little taken aback. We're a little shocked. We would have liked a heads up. It's like, okay. So it's not just an Aaron Rodgers is a diva thing. It's a quarterback thing. Okay. I did think that was funny. I had a good laugh at that last night. 608-321-1670. Continue to take your thoughts. Wisco Sports Show. Who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike. Mike who? Mike where? We have a couple Mikes.
Mike Mason from Madison. How you doing, buddy?
Mike in Madison. I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I get sick about and talk about this, that, and the other thing when they don't know anything. I'm not going to age myself, but let's just say I watched a lot of football in my life, and these kids don't know what the hell they're talking about. I think the Packers did the perfect thing, protect the good kid. I mean, I will call in every night and just bitch about all these fucking people.
Calling, Mike. What do you think you are joining when you call this show? Do you think this is part of my take? Like, I get one swear word slips out. People who don't call the radio all the time. It's like, I get it. It happens. Like, multiple swears, that's ridiculous. I should have bumped you after the first time you said the F-bomb. But I hit the dump button. Lord knows if it worked. Twice? Come on. What do you think this is? God, it pisses me off a little bit. I give more leeway to callers. I give so much leeway to callers. Two F-bombs? Are you kidding me? Come on. And now I'm in a bad mood because the Bucks are getting ran. This Damian Lillard got hurt. He went to the locker room. He tweaked his knee or something. This is such a debacle. How are they going to have a worse exit than they did last year? I don't understand how they can do it worse than they did last year. I didn't think that that was possible. I didn't think that that could possibly happen. And now they're doing it. Okay. We'll continue to take calls. Remember, this is live radio, public radio. Swear words are not, I understand accidents happen and it slips out. And I have a pretty good gauge. It's like a lot of you, I talk to you quite a bit. And also, Mike, I don't know where you're getting off. I don't know that anybody's complained about this pick on the show today. So who are you yelling at? Where did that come from? It's be better if we do the calling the radio thing again. It's public radio. You can't just say whatever you want. 3 minutes. We'll come back. Continue the Wisco Sports Show next.
This is the Wisco Sports Show with Grant Bills on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Wisco Sports Show. My name is Grant Bills. Happy Friday. Fins up. It's Friday. The Bucks are down 39-26. I guess the game's not over, but God, it feels over. Dame's back out there, though. Tweaked his knee, went to the locker room. I thought he was maybe done, but he's back out there. He's got a shot up and was fouled. Okay. See what he's got. It is only a 13-point game. In an instance like this, going to the away team or the road team, right? So the lower seed. Series tied 1-1, going back to Indiana. Of course, the first quarter is going to be fast and furious, and the crowd's going to be loud, and the energy's going to be... I'm not surprised that the Bucks didn't jump out to a big lead. The point of a game like this, especially in the first half, is just hold on and to just weather that original storm and to let the game settle down. The thing with this series, though, with the Bucks and the Pacers, is it's kind of on the Bucks to settle things down. It's kind of on the Bucks to slow things down. You know, we always talk about, and rightfully so, well, you know, the game slows down in the playoffs. Yeah, that's because for the most part, both teams are interested in slowing it down. You know, think of the Cavs and the Warriors all those years. Those were veteran-laden teams. Those were not a bunch of kids looking to sprint up and down the floor. Now, the Warriors would use good ball movement. They were active. They didn't always want to get out and run and scream around in transition to push the pace, right? Most teams in the playoffs are older, more veteran-laden teams, and they're content to just relax a little bit, play half-court basketball, and let the shot makers make shots. This series is a little different. The Pacers are not your run-of-the-mill playoff team. They actually want to get out and run, and it's on the Bucks to slow them down. These basketball games aren't going to slow themselves down. Well, it's the playoffs, so it'll slow down. Well, okay, well, not just because the calendar flipped. That's not how this works. So, I don't know. We'll see. I think the Bucks' biggest issue so far in these last two games, I shouldn't say today. They haven't lost yet today. They're down by 11. But their biggest issue between game two and from what I've seen in this game so far is that they need to make shots. They need to hit shots. They need to make their layups, and they need to make their threes. Because if they don't, you're giving the Pacers a live ball opportunity, a live rebound to run with. And it's easy to say, well, the Bucks need to get back on defense. Well, yeah, but if Brook Lopez is 3 feet under the basket because he just attempted some layup or some runner, it's not a matter of hustle. It's a matter of positioning. And the positioning is bad because the shot didn't go through the rim. So for the Bucks to climb their way back in, I guess it's a 1-1 series. I guess I'm speaking as if they've already lost this game, and that hasn't happened yet. But if the Bucks are going to dig their way through this series and get back to a point where Giannis can return, or maybe they have to advance without him, they just need to make shots, which is a terrifying concept for a team that's never made shots in the playoffs. Never. The last couple of years, even the year they won the title, they didn't shoot well from three. It's just not what they've done historically. I don't know why I'd expect it to start now, although Damian Lillard is a little bit of a different player than Drew Holiday and others. Bobby Portis, man. We need chaotic good. Chaotic neutral or chaotic bad, not going to cut it in this series. If you look at the spectrum, Bobby Portis brings chaos and he brings energy. It can't be bad chaotic energy. It can't even be neutral chaotic energy. It has to be chaotic good, if you're aware of the concept that I'm talking about. I want to mostly talk about the NFL draft tonight. I think the Packers pick is fine. You know, we had some nut job calling, dropping F-bombs. And Mike, if you ever want to call back, I guess you're more than welcome to just take a completely different approach next time, please. We haven't gotten any angry calls about the pick tonight. I don't know who Mike was yelling at. I think most people are just fine with this pick. Jordan Morgan, who's athletic as hell, crazy broad jump, crazy 40 time. His arms are a little short, but not unspeakably short. They're like an eighth of an inch shorter than the thresholds the Packers typically adhere to, which for me, it's good enough. Eighth of an inch, it's good enough. It's the same height and weight and size and athleticism as Bakhtiari and Bulaga. Brian Gutekunst talked last night. This is a guy who could probably play four positions for us. This is a very, 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 very Packers pick. I don't know why you'd have a problem with this. Unless you really had your heart set on Cooper DeJean or Terrion Arnold or Tyler Guyton or even the player that came off the board right after Jordan Morgan, Graham Barton, the center from Duke. Okay, if you liked one of those players more and you would have preferred them, okay, the Packers didn't. The Packers had Jordan Morgan higher on their board. So it becomes a your word versus their word, right? A he said, she said. You like Graham Barton? Okay, well, they like Jordan Morgan. They had a plethora of players available to them. Between Jordan Morgan, Graham Barton, and Tyler Guyton, I thought they would be interested in all three of those players. I think, you know, now seeing the pick that they've made in Jordan Morgan and the traits and the attributes, I don't know that they were ever interested in Tyler Guyton. He's bigger, heavier, he's slower. He is not the prototypical Packers draft pick. They like leaner, faster, mobile, athletic, right? So I'm not sure that Tyler Guyton was ever that high on their board. Amarius Mims came off the board at 18. Now, the Bengals take a very different approach. The Bengals prefer massive linemen, right? They're not asking their guys to run around and to be out in space. That's what the Packers are more looking for. So you have a difference in styles between the Bengals, who are all over Amarius Mims at 18, which is a little bit earlier than I thought he would come off the board. Jordan Morgan came off the board at 25. I hear a lot of people, it's like, well, you could have got him in round two. Okay, well they're going to be able to get Cooper DeJean in round two. They're going to be able to get Ennis Rakestraw. They're going to be able to get Kool-Aid McKinstry. There's a lot of guys that are able to get in round two. So if you think they overdrafted Jordan Morgan because you thought he was a second-round player or third-round player, look, we had Mike Renner on Bill's show earlier today. He said he had Jordan Morgan as his 20th player on the big board. I was looking at Dane Brugler's mock draft yesterday before the draft even happened. He had Jordan Morgan going 31st to the Niners. They took him in the neighborhood. They took him in the region the consensus had him going. So if you don't like the pick, it's just because you liked another player more. And that's fine. I guess you're allowed to do your own evaluations and to have your own and to have your own conclusions about players. But this is a really difficult pick to dislike. I think this is a really difficult pick to argue with. I would have rather had Cooper DeJean. Okay, well, so could the Bucks and the Cardinals and the Chiefs and the Cowboys and the Ravens and the Niners and the Panthers and the Bills. And they all said no. They all passed him. He's still there. Two or three other corners. They're all still there. So I have a really hard time understanding why people would be upset at this pick. This is a really interesting draft. The Vikings did a lot of wheeling and dealing. They got the players, I'm sure, that they wanted. I'm not sure if the process was the best, which is funny because Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is someone who would be more in tuned to the process and the values exchanged in trades. He would be the guy more in tune to that. He is a very analytical GM. He's a background in stockbroking, for God's sake. So the Vikings had an interesting draft. I think they ended up with the players that they probably wanted. The means of acquiring those players, all of the moving up and down they did, I think there was a lot of lost value in the process, but you might be someone, and I even believe this to a certain degree, I think the ends sometimes justify the means in the draft if you really believe in a guy, if you really, really believe in a guy. And of course, the number one story today is the Falcons taking Michael Penix, which I think is just an incredible pick. I think it's smart. And I think it's good strategy. I think more so than anything, it's incredible for content. It's giving us something just amazing to debate today. And I'm really having fun digging into this pick and talking about this pick. I think I like it as a Packers fan. I mean, this is our thing. Other teams are finally catching on. Like, hey, this is a good way to develop a quarterback. This is a good way to avoid getting caught with your pants down when your old veteran can't play anymore, or when he's threatening retirement, or he's struggling with an Achilles injury. Other teams are figuring it out. Packers fans, we should be all over this. 608-321-1670. A reminder that this is a radio show, and you can't say the F word. I thought that went without saying, but I guess I'll say it. Wisco Sports Show, who's this?
Hey, it's Mickey again.
Hey, Mickey, we talked this morning. What's going on, Mickey?
I thought I was a little hard on you this morning.
No, it was fun. It was fun.
I was still, I still think, okay, the problem isn't Penix Jr. I think he's a fine quarterback. I think he'll be great. Like, him going to Raiders would have been fine.
Sure.
I just think the eighth overall pick, because what is the point of signing Kirk Cousins if you're not looking to do something with it, win in the next year or two? Maybe it's not going to be possible this season, but next season. So don't you want to, like, have guys with your eighth round pick for that. If they were going to sign, you know, if they were going to draft Penn, they could have traded down. They could have done so many other things. I just think they could have made a better pick to win in the next couple of seasons, because what's the point of having Kirk Cousins?
Let's talk about the point of having Kirk Cousins, because that was going to be my follow-up. Do you think that a team can win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins as their quarterback? Do you think it's... I genuinely want your opinion, because I don't think you can, but maybe you believe that they can. And if you believe that they could win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins, okay, well, then that's a good argument for adding a player. I don't think they can, and I don't think most people believe that they can, and I think them signing Kirk Cousins was less about trying to go all in to win a Super Bowl and more about, oh, my God, we've been suffering through Desmond Ridder for 2 years. We just need to get a professional in the building, you know?
They could have done it in a completely different way, I think, instead of spending $180 million on it.
It's a lot of money.
And someone who's 30 will be 36 when the season starts. But I know, it's, again, the Atlanta Falcons don't make much sense, and that's what makes them funny.
They're such a funny team, aren't they? Like, imagine being a fan of that team. And I'm a Brewers fan, and still I'm like, man, imagine being a Falcons fan. God, it'd be like drugs.
You know, the city has not recovered from 28-3. We watched that Super Bowl with a bunch of people who were born in Atlanta, all Grady babies. I have never seen an entire fan base just die like that. There's a bunch of my friends who don't even watch NFL anymore because of that.
Yeah, that would be tough to bounce back from. That would be really tough.
People are crying.
Like, imagine the 2014 NFC Championship game, but worse, and it was in the Super Bowl. And it was, with Aaron Rodgers, we knew that there would be other chances. They were chances that were squandered, but there would be other chances. It felt like with Shanahan and Matt Ryan and Dan Quinn that was kind of their one crack, you know?
Yeah. Well, the other thing is the Packers model is great. I just think the Falcons executed it poorly. It's like they got a worse quarterback and a worse Jordan Love, a worse Aaron Rodgers to do the thing. So it's a great idea, just not executed correctly. I mean, who knows? I might eat crow and Kirk Cousins blows his Achilles again.
Yeah, I mean, Mickey, I appreciate this. I'm glad that we got to talk again because we ran out of time this morning. Thanks for the call. Let's do this again. That's Mickey. I appreciate it. Yeah, you too, Mickey. One of Ebo's callers in the morning, I hear a lot. Look, the eighth overall pick is steep. It's a steep price to pay. I just, if you have a quarterback you like, take him. If you have a player you like, take him. This is another reason I really liked last night's draft, is once the first three quarterbacks came off the board, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, there were three teams that totally could have been trade down candidates. The Cardinals, the Chargers, and the Giants. And all three of them were like, actually, no, we're just going to take the player that we want. We're going to take Marvin Harrison or Joe Alder, Malik Nabers. And we could probably trade down and get a player similar, but we want these guys. So we're going to stick and pick. Thanks. I like that. I like teams that don't overthink it. The Packers didn't overthink it. I saw Heller, Mike Heller, who does radio in Madison too. He was tweeting about this last night. It got me triggered during the draft show. Heller was like, this would be a great spot to trade down. No, there's a bunch of good players on the board. There's a bunch of good players. Take any of it. Take your pick. Take a tackle. Take a corner. There's a bunch of good players on the board. Take one. Trading down is when there's no players that you like. There were like three or four players that I loved. And I would imagine at least two or three that the Packers loved too at the time. Trading down can be a good maneuver. I just think you get in trouble. It can be dangerous when you're like, well, we like this guy, but we think we can get him in three picks. Okay, so you're going to trade down and then potentially trade back up. And for what? To get an extra fourth? Sometimes I just think it's okay to take the player that you want and don't look back. Don't apologize for it, even if it's a slight reach. And I think Michael Penix at 8, it's steep, especially because he's not going to play right away. But I really struggle coming out of a season where everyone celebrated the Packer way, the way they bring their quarterbacks along. Like, more teams should do that. And then the Falcons do it and everyone crushes them. I understand it was a surprise and it's unorthodox, but I mean, we've seen it now a couple times with the Packers. It works. The strategy works. It makes sense. I really like it. Let's take a 5-minute break. We'll come back, continue the Wisco Sports Show next.
This is the Wisco Sports Show with Grant Bills on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Wisco Sports Show. Happy Friday. Fins up. The Bucks have cut it to single digits. Actually humming. Chris Middleton's playing awesome. And Andre Jackson Jr. is playing. And I know what you're thinking. I know what you're all thinking right now. Wait, Grant. The young, strong, athletic, fast guy who can run and defend, he's having an impact? Yeah, I know. Knocked me over with a feather. It shocked me to hell, too. I can't imagine that, right? Oh, play the young, athletic guy? What could it hurt? Yeah, it's a shock. Who could have seen this coming? Took a couple injuries and three games, but we finally got there. God, this team triggers me. This team's going to win a title. We're right back to 2021. This team's going to win a title, and they're going to piss me off every step of the way. I mean, I'll take it. God, I just, you know, see now the Pacers are on a run again. They're up 13. All right. This is just going to be a miserable series. The Bucks could win this series. It's still going to be absolutely miserable. I don't know what happened over the last calendar year where I just completely turned against this team. Probably Giannis not playing, probably the second best player in basketball not being available. That probably had something to do with it. We've been talking NFL draft, a little bit about the Penix pick. What the Broncos did last night is hilarious. I'm sorry. So I want to read you a couple quotes. I want to read you a couple things here. Because the Broncos take Bo Nix, right? The sixth quarterback in the draft selected at number 12, which is... just a sign of the times, which I think it's smart, by the way. You need a quarterback, take a quarterback. Don't fart around. Don't mess around. If you like Bo Nix, just take Bo Nix. You need a quarterback, just take him. Oh, but we can't take him at 12. He's a quarterback. You can take him wherever you want. This was a note last night. Sean Payton was on the Pat McAfee show. Everyone's been going on the Pat McAfee show. Bill Belichick's actually been pretty entertaining on the Pat McAfee show. So Sean Payton went on the Pat McAfee show last night to talk about Bo Nix. And I'm going to read you this tweet from Nick Kosmider from The Athletic. Okay, so he's the Broncos beat reporter. Interesting anecdote that Sean Payton gave to at Pat McAfee show. Broncos had the analytics staff isolate Nix's numbers to remove the bubble screens and other line of scrimmage throws. Quote, remove all of that and he's first in yards per completion. So hold on. Wait. So just so I have this correct. You had the analytics department take all of the bubble screens and line of scrimmage throws out. You had them remove the data of all of the short throws. And the conclusion that was drawn in Denver by people in the front office and by Sean Payton was, well, if you take away all the short throws, then he's first in yards per completion. No way. Are the Broncos dumb? Is Sean Payton dumb? I think he might just be dumb. I saw this tweet over the commercial break 5 minutes ago, and I want to play this audio. I hadn't listened to it yet. It's not even the audio that's funny. It's the point that Sean Payton is making here. So he must have met with the media today, or maybe this is from last night, and I'm just seeing it now. So Sean Payton is bragging in this clip that I saw about basically baiting the Vikings into trading up and taking J.J. McCarthy. So I want to make sure the sound is turned on here. So this is Sean Payton. It's only 10 seconds. So let's listen to this together.
I was actively involved in trying to pretend we were moving forward. In other words.
So it's really funny at press conferences when a coach or somebody says something and it's very clear that they are expecting a laugh and then the laugh doesn't come. So Sean Payton is bragging, hey, guys, I got the Vikings to trade up. Well, you know what you did, Sean? Is you forced a team not in your conference to move up one spot. Who reaped the benefits, Sean? Where did the draft capital go, Sean? Which team got to add an extra pick and still get the player they wanted, Sean? It's the Jets, you dumbass. The team that's actually in your conference. A team that totally, at some point this season or next, you could be competing with a wild card spot. You could be competing for a wild card spot with the Jets. It's like, hey, we got the Vikings to... you see what we did? We got the Vikings to move up. It's not like you did it to a division rival, Sean. You did it to the Vikings, a team that doesn't matter for you. And the Jets reap the benefits. And then you guys take the sixth best quarterback in the draft to pick 12? Like, is Sean Payton just stupid? Did you see the Adam Schefter? And I'm sorry to just read tweets, but there's so many. So after the Broncos took Bo Nix last night, Sean Payton tweeted this. And I don't know if he tweeted this with a straight face or what. He tweeted this at 8:30 last night. He said, Sean Payton wanted and intended to draft Patrick Mahomes in the 2017 draft, where they held the 11th overall pick. He was ready to turn in the card. But before he could, the Chiefs traded up to the Bills spot at number 10 and took Mahomes one spot before Payton got him, leaving the Saints to draft Ohio State cornerback Marshawn Lattimore. Payton feels as strongly about Bo Nix as he did Mahomes. The spin coming out of Denver on every single element of this pick and through their strategy of this offseason into the draft, it's nuts, and it has me questioning whether or not Sean Payton is just dumb. I think he might be dumb. 2 weeks ago, we got a story. It's like, yeah, I dug into the analytics for 2 hours to help best prepare for the draft. Oh, two hours? You poured through the data, the numbers, the facts, the figures? Like in Always Sunny, when they have the evolution trial, you dug into the numbers? 2 hours? Yeah. You're all over it, Sean. 2 hours. I'm sure you know all you need to know. God. And I'm not somebody, like, Vikings fans, I think, have this weird fetish with Sean Payton. And maybe it's not weird. Maybe it's fair because, you know, lost to Sean Payton and the Saints in the NFC title game. And, you know, Favre was beat up. Well, guess what? My team lost four NFC championship games in 7 years. But now I like Pete Carroll. I got over it with the Seahawks. It was more anti-Russell Wilson. Never anti-coach. Vikings fans are really anti-Sean Payton. I'm not really that anti-Sean Payton, but God, if he keeps doing stuff like this, I might have to be. 608-321-1670. Let's take a call, then we'll take a break. Wisco Sports Show, who's this?
Hey, it's Andy in Altoona.
Andy in Altoona. Go Rails, Andy. Welcome back to the show. What's up?
Hey, I just want to let you know, I also isolated some data, and I found out that if you remove all the times that A.J. Dillon got hit at or behind the line of scrimmage, he actually leads the league in yards per carry.
No kidding, really?
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? Can you believe that that's something? Now maybe they also took away all the line of scrimmage throws and bubble screens for the other quarterbacks. But like, if you do that, you should mention that. Like, you should describe that part of the report. I don't think that's what they did. They took out all of Bo Nix's short throws, and then they were flabbergasted as to why his yards per attempt and completion went up. I mean, just outstanding work in Denver.
I have to believe he misspoke. Like, there was something else they did that made more sense, and he didn't hear it right. It's got to be what it is, because those people who are making that much money didn't do something that stupid. But I think what he heard was what he thought he heard, and that's what he repeated. I don't think that's what they did. If those people are making that much money and that's what they did, then they're not qualified for their job.
Yeah, again, if you want Bo Nix at 12, fine. You need a quarterback. Take him. Again, I'm never going to fault teams for drafting the quarterback they think is their guy, because if they're right, they're set for a decade. And that is worth any reach, any trade up. Take the guy you want. What you can skip and what I don't need is all of the spin coming from Schefter and people about, oh my God, I liked Mahomes and I feel the same way about Bo Nix. And if you isolate the data and you take out the short throws, his yards per attempt go up. Imagine that. Save me all of that. Just take your quarterback and be done with it. I have no problem with them drafting Nix. It's all the other crap that's really annoying.
Well, that's why we should also do draft grades 2 or 3 years after the draft. Yeah. We don't need to give a draft grade this weekend. Let's wait a couple years. Let's grade the draft from 3 years ago and look back and see how the GM did. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, and I think that's reasonable. And I think it's fair to, look, Andy, and I got to go. Sorry to cut you off. I just got to get a final break in here before we wrap up the show. Thank you, Andy. Have a good night. All right, goodbye. Andy up in Altoona. Appreciate you. The hell was I saying? Remember. I think it is fair and reasonable to evaluate draft classes right after the draft. Because I do think there are some conclusions that you can draw. I think you can say, maybe I would have done that differently. Maybe the board really didn't fall. Like, you can draw conclusions. You can't say how good players are going to be, but you can draw conclusions about the drafting process and how it was handled. Okay? That's fine. I don't really know how anybody can look at this Packers pick and give it anything other than a thumbs up. It's not glamorous. It's not sexy. Right. It's not going to be a game changing, earth shattering player, most likely, at least in year one, maybe never. But I think it's a fine pick. I think it's fine. And 6 foot Steve said more. He just texted in, the Morgan pick would have been much better if it was a second round pick. Feels to me like the Packers are not acting in relation to what the other North teams have done. I would have much preferred an edge or a secondary player. I think they could have had Morgan tonight. To me, it feels like a reach. I don't think they could have Morgan tonight. We got a report earlier today that Washington was looking to trade up. They were interested in him. He was, and again, I don't know where this idea is coming from, that Morgan is some insane reach. We talked to Mike Renner earlier today. He was 20th on Renner's big board. Renner's as good as anybody. Dane Brugler had him going 31 to the Niners. He was a first-round player. And this whole idea is like, well, you could get him in the second round. You could get Cooper DeJean in the second round. He's literally still on the board. So, again, I'm not trying to beat up on you, 6 foot Steve. I just think the day after a draft pick, we throw these cliches around. And I don't think any of these cliches are true in the case of Jordan Morgan and this first round pick. Let's take a break. We'll come back, wrap up the show with some Jimmy Buffett. Fins up. It's Friday.
This is the Wisco Sports Show with Grant Bills on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Not only going out to Wisconsin and the great Midwest, we're going around the world tonight, Parrothead.
Wisco Sports Show, fins up. It's Friday. Wrapping things up, a quick Bucks update. It is halftime, unless my Bally stream is way out of whack again. I believe it's still halftime. Let me check the live score. Yep, still halftime. Pacers are up 67-55, which sucks, but it doesn't suck as much as the score did earlier. Just to kind of give you a clue on how this game's gone and how certain guys have played. Middleton's been great, 7 of 14 from the floor, 19 points. Brooke has 10. Beverly has 11. Dame is struggling. He's 2 of 10 from the field. But he's getting to the free throw line. He's going to have to do something or this team is cooked. Crowder's got 0. Connaughton's got 0. Beasley's got 0. Beasley is a nightmare in this series. He can't be out there. Andre Jackson Jr. can take all of his minutes. And any minutes left over, I don't know, give him to AJ Green. Give him to Pat Connaughton. Give him to Gallinari for all I care. Beasley cannot play. Beasley cannot play in a playoff series if the Bucks expect to win any games. He can't hit threes, which I know he hit threes in the regular season, and maybe he could get hot at some point, but while you're waiting for him to get hot, he's going to kill you on both ends. He's not hitting threes, and he gets lost on defense. He's got the attention span and the focus level of a golden retriever. He'll stick with an assignment for about 2 seconds, and then his head will be on a swivel. And all of a sudden, the Pacers have a layup or a wide open three, and who's standing in the middle of the paint, looking up into the lights, trying to figure out what happened? It's Malik Beasley. He can't play. He just can't. And it's funny because I actually think he was fine for most of the season. I don't think he was ever great. He can't play. Give me Andre Jackson Jr. And honestly, give me Pat Connaughton, because Pat Connaughton can maybe at least hold his focus, and he's as good of a bet as anybody to make some threes. He's a better bet than Malik Beasley. He's still not a great bet. This team's trailing by 12 points in this game for a reason. Pat Connaughton has shown that he can hit threes in an NBA Finals. Malik Beasley hasn't shown anything. So, look, huge night for the Packers tonight. This could set them up to be awesome the next couple of years, or it could leave them lacking a couple players they desperately need. So enjoy rounds 2 and 3. We'll talk about the entire draft and the Bucks on Monday at 4.
What can we say? Thank you all very much. You sure make a bar from Mississippi feel